Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Gimel, as we Baruch Hashem had a haschala into the seventh parak of Masechet Baba Basra, 7 out of 10, which is really 27 out of 30, if we think about it in the Masechet Nezikin, which we have been involved with Baruch Hashem over the past few months. So it's really Baba Basra, the third one, and we are in the seventh-tenth part of the third part of Masechet Nezikin. But either way, it's Baba Basra now, and we are in the seventh parak. Today's daf is sponsored Lezecher Nishmas Sima Rachel Bat Harav Tzvi Aryeh. She was zocha to leave generations of Shomrei Torah and Lomdei Torah, Shomrei Mitzvos and Lomdei Torah, dedicated by her sons Jack Friedman and Aaron Friedman. We thank the Friedman family for the sponsorship. Again, Sima Rachel Bat Harav Tzvi Aryeh, today's daf. Okay, let us get into the Mishnah. The Mishnah quoted right at the beginning of the Gemara, it's non-hasam. So the Mishnah started off yesterday, continuing our discussions of Mechira and what is understood and what is needed when I sell something. The Mishnah told us, if I sell a base kur afar to my friend, so then if there are clefts or there are rocks that are 10 tefachim high, then they're not nimdad with the ground, because I base kur afar means I want dirt in order to be able to plant in, and if there are these high or low pieces in it going in the direction that doesn't let me plow or plant along with the rest of the field, then it must not be included. But less than that, if it's less than 10 tefachim, then it is nimdad iman. If I say kibbeis kurafa, then I mean about, and then there's more flexibility. Good. That's what the Mishnah said. Tanan Hasam. So we continue with a similar Mishnah from Maseches Arachin. A lot of Arachin is about issues that come up at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Bati Arechoma, and Beit Chatzeros, and Beit Achuza, and Stei Mikneh, and this Mishnah is in that topic. A lot of it is in Torah Shebachzav. A lot of these halachas expanded upon in Torah Shebalpeh, but a lot we just run through, but it's really, a lot of it is right there. So says the Mishnah there, Hamakdish Sadeyu Bishas Hayovel. If somebody is Makdish, their field, their ancestral field, Stei Achuza, during the time of Yovel. So what is the halacha? There's a special din by Stei Achuza, unlike Stei Mikneh. Stei Achuza means is my ancestral field that I have had in my family, and now I am makdashit. That's the achuza. Stei mikneh is I bought a field, and then I'm makdashit. So I was nikneh, I was koneid. That's why it's called it's somebody else's stei achuza, but it's my stei mikneh. So there are differences in halacha between those two. One of them is quoted in the Mishnah, and that is when one redeems the field from hekdish, does one redeem it for the fair market price value? That's what happens by a stei mikneh. But by a stei achuza, there's a special din in the Torah. There's a special ratio, how much you have to redeem it for, and that is for redeeming it for 50 years. If there's only 20 years left in Yovel, so then I'll have to redeem it for less than that based on the ratio of how many years are left to the Yovel period when I would lose it at the end of the 50 years anyway. Says the Mishnah, Hamakdish Sadeo Bishas Yovel. If somebody is Makdish their field at the time of Yovel, no Sinlo Lebezera Chomer Saorim Chamishim Shekel Kesef. That's what the Torah says. 50 Shekel Kesef for the area that it takes to be, for the area that of a field that you could plant a Chomer Saorim. Hayusham Nekayim Amukim Yutvachim O Slaim Gavoam. If there are, like our Mishnah has, clefts that are 10 tefachim deep or rocks that are 10 tefachim high, ain nimdad din ima, they are not nimdad with the rest of the field in the measuring out of how much one has to pay when one redeems it. Pachos mikan nimdad din ima, but less than 10, it is nimdad with it. Good. Before we get to the Gemara's question, let's talk for a few moments about this Mishnah. First of all, there is a different question of the Girsa. The Rashbam quotes a Girsa that he does not accept, while Tosas quotes it and says you can still explain it. The Girsa that's quoted in the Mishnah is Hamakdish Sadeu Bishnas Hayovel. If you makdish the field during the year of Yovel, that's what it sounds like Bishnas Hayovel means. So the Rashbam doesn't like that, because the Rashbam says that's really a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel elsewhere whether that works or not. If you are makdish it during the Yovel year, actually. So it can't be that. It just has to be Bishasa Yovel. During the time that Yovel is Noeg, but not during the Yovel year itself. It'd be right after the Yovel year. That's what it's talking about. So Tosas quotes that and says, you could even understand the Mishnah as talking about that, even if you have the phrase Bishnasa Yovel. It's an important comment to Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Pirish Bakuntris, Telo Garcina, Bishnasa Yovel, because Bishnasa Yovel Atzma Pligi Ravishmuel. Tosfos says, Miu Barovis Farm Garcina, but in many Sfarm you have that Girsa of Bishnasa Yovel. So Tosfos doesn't argue, he just says, he doesn't argue on the fundamental point of the Rashbam, but he does argue and say you could interpret it that way. V'yesh Omar, De Bishnasa Yovel, Mashma Shapir, Shana Sha'achra Yovel. When it says the phrase Shnasi, we can't even translate that properly. Shnasi Yovel Mi could mean the year after Yovel. Velo Shnas Chamisha Mamish. It does not have to mean the year, the 50th year itself. Mi Delok Tani, it does not say B'Shnas HaYovel Atzma. It doesn't have that extra word. That extra word means in the year itself. That's the Machlokas Vidravit Shmuel. B'Shnas HaYovel Atzma. But just saying B'Shnas HaYovel can mean the year right after Yovel. And you're telling me, doesn't it say in the Torah, B'Shnas HaYovel Yashuv HaSadeh? So we see in the Torah, B'Shnas HaYovel means that the year of Yovel itself. Says the Tosfos, Yesh Lechalek, the Lashon Torah Lachud. Don't compare the language of a Mishnah, the language of a Pasuk. They would use different languages. If the Pasuk wants, doesn't say, the Torah doesn't use the language like Atzma. B'Shnas HaYovel Atzma. That's a Torah Sheval Pet word, not a Torah Shevichsav word. So if the Mishnah wanted to talk about the actual year, it would have said B'Shnas HaYovel Atzma. But the Torah doesn't have to. Don't bring a raya one to the other. Tekra lav orche lichtov atzma v'chulus. That's just a linguistic issue between Rashbam and Tosfos, whether you could have that gerusa. Good. But on a more fundamental note, we could talk about stei achuzah and stei mikneh. It's interesting that there are differences, as we mentioned, between those two items. There are four differences in halacha between a stei mikneh and a stei achuzah. Number one, if I'm makdish a stei achuzah, and I don't redeem it before Yovel comes, what happens to it at the end of the Yovel cycle? So by a stei achuzah, if I makne it, I'm not maknas. If I am not kone it back, it goes to the kohanim. Right, that's one of the matanas that the kohen gets. The kohanim take the field, and it becomes an achuzah for them, as the pasuk says. V'hiya hasteh b'tseiso mi sadeh b'tseiso mi Yovel kodesh l'Hashem k'stei acherim la'kohen t'yachuzah so. Pasuk in Perek Yuzayin of Ayikra. But stei mikneh, no, stei mikneh goes back to the Bialim. That is the original owner. Good. That is number one. Number two, as we saw in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah and in the Gemara, the amount that it is redeemable for. Does it have a set amount of 50 shekel for the Chomer Seres Ha'orim, or do you redeem it based on the market value? Number two. Number three, if the Bialim themselves redeem it, do you have to be Mosef Chomesh when they redeem it? By a stei achuzah, yes, you're Mosef Chomesh. By a stei mikneh, the Mishnah tells us in Arachin Daf Yudalah that you are not Mosef Chomesh. And finally, number four, might be related to number three, is there a mitzvah dafka for the Bialim to be poda? Right? Do we say it's do we encourage that? Again, in Arachin, the beginning of the 8th parak, Daf Chav Zayin, the mitzvah ikal abayim leftos is a mitzvah, and we're even kofin al zeh, while by stei mikneh, we don't find it. Based on these differences, the question is, why does the Rambam quote it as one mitzvah? The Rambam quotes, dealing with stei hekdesh is a mitzvah. Mikneh and achuzah. Right, so the Rambam puts that together in mitzvah kuf yud zayin. Shetzivanu ba'arche sados. The Arachin of Sados, Fu Amro Mistei Achuzah So Yakdish, V'chulu, and then it would say Mikneh, V'chishav Al-Kohen Esmis, Lasa Erkecha, puts it all in one. Right? Why does he put it all in one? And it's even ironic that the Rambam continues there in Kufi Zayin to explain why he doesn't count all the halachas of Arachin as one. Meaning, Arche Batim, and Arche Anashim, right? He doesn't count it all as one, and he emphasizes that. The Rambam says, V'yal yachshov choshev, she'elu arba aminim me'arachin yibeneim shituf, yechayev she'yimnu mitzvah achas. Don't think that I'm going to count it all as one. Avalheim arba mitzvahs, yesh lo kolachas din zulas din acheres. Right? Each one has a separate halacha. V'ulam yechaleim shem erech altsad shituf hashem. The word, the name, erech, is what is common amongst them. But more than that, v'ein roi sheyimnu mini arach and kula mitzvah achas. Right? It's not appropriate to call them as one. You call them all separately because there are differences in halacha. V'zeh mavur im ha-histaklus. Good. That is the Rambam emphasis. Don't count it all as one. But mamish in that mitzvah that he emphasizes, don't count it all as one. He counts it as one. Stei achuzah and stei mikneh, he does count as one, even though he doesn't count them together with the others of Erchei Batim and Erchei the Arche Behema, Kuf Tezvav, Ikad and Ol Sebali. So why are these two put together? That's the question of the Mitzvah Samelech, among other contemporary poskim. So he quotes there that, just to give another parallel, the Rambam says the same thing, and the Rambam emphatically throughout Sefer HaMitzvahs explains why he counts some together and some not together. He talks about it by tzitzis and tefillin, why tefillin counted as two, the Yad and the Shalrosh, and tzitzis, they're counted as one, right? Tchilas and Lavan, it's counted as one. Why is it by the Mechusrei Kapara? We have Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. Why does the Rambam count separate karbanas for the Zav and the Zava, and for the Mitzora and the Mitzoraas, he counts it as one? So he quotes there, the Mitzora and the Mitzoraas have the same halachas, and the same, therefore you put it all together. The Zav and the Zava, to become a Zava Gadola, you have differences in halacha. Do you go by days? Do you go by times of Re'ios? There are differences. The Rambam says, I count Zav and Zava separately, just like Chazal, the language there in Maseches Krisus. I think the beginning of the second parak is Zav, Zava, Yoledes, Mitzara. It doesn't say Mitzara, Mitzaraz. So Rambam says, Chazal already give it away. So he makes an emphatic statement about that here in Mitzvah, Kufte Zayin, Kufye Zayin. So then why are Shtei Mikvos De'Achuzah put together? Our mission is about De'Achuzah. There are differences. So the Mitzvah Zamelech explains those differences are what we would call technical and not fundamental. If there are fundamental differences that reflect something majorly different between the mahus of the different areas of halacha, then we would count it separately. But if they're just technical differences based on a difference in root, but not a difference that reflects something majorly different, so then you wouldn't count it separately. So what's the difference here? The difference is, do I really own it? I bought a field from you and now I'm makdish it. Do I have the authority to be makdish that forever? The answer is no. It's not mine. It's going to go back to you. So all the nafkaminas are based on that. It's not really mine. And that's why it's not going to go to the Kohanim in Yovel, because I didn't have the power to be makdish in the first place. And that's why there's no mitzvah for me to redeem it, because it's not really mine. And that's why the third one, the Hosafas Chomesh, I'm not really the Bialim. The one tricky one a little bit is the one whether the fixed value or not fixed value. But you could connect it. If it's not mine, then it's just a field that I happen to be connected to, so it's sold on the basis of the market value. If it's my ancestral field, this goes way back generations. And therefore, there's a special amount that it is worth to my family, however you want to say it. But those are more just a reflection of whether it's mine or not mine, but not something fundamentally different about these two types of fields, and that's why the Rambam can count it as one, unlike the other Arachin, which he counts differently. So those are that's the Mitzvah Samelech and Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin. Now let's get back to the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara quoted the Mishnah of the 10 Tfachim up or down, so those, that is not quoted. That's not nimdad with the rest of the field. Again, nimdad in terms of when I redeem the field for chamishim shekel kesef for the area of zerach omer saorim. So those, the clefts and the holes are not measured with the rest of the field. What exactly? I didn't even explain this. What exactly does that mean that it's not measured with the rest of the field? Pashtus. What does the Rashbam here say? Those areas are not considered part of the field, and therefore they're redeemed lefi damim, not lefi the special magical amount. That's what the Rashbam says. Right here, they're considered Einim dadani ma liftos la on top lefi cheshbon ze hakosiv batorah. V'kivin de lo hayezera havisa de zera v'chulu v'chulu. It's a niftin ela bishav yehen. Right, that's what the Rashbam says on the third line. The niftin lefi damim, which is as we'll see, might fit in a little smoother into the next line of the Gemara. But you know there is another shita, the Yad Ramah, and it sounds like the Rambam holds this. Einim dadan means it's not huktash. When I makdish this field and it has these up or down separate areas, it's not hooked. It doesn't become hektish. And yet, in the middle of this stay hektish now, I have these items. That's what the Yad Ramah says. And again, the Rambam just says, Ein nimdadin, period. Klomer, ela notzlan below pidyon, jalav michal hasadeh ninhu. That's the language of the Yad Ramah. It's not included in your sadeh. It's not included in the field, and it's not hooktash. Okay, that's a chiddush. How do you read that? Because it sounds like Ein nimdadin. So, Ein nimdadin, that it's not hooktash, or Ein nimdadin, that it's not measured with it. Okay, but either way, we continue now. Says the Gemara of Yamai, why do we say, let's go with the Rashbam's Shrat, why do we say that it's not nimdad as part of the rest of the field, and therefore, with the special amount of Chamishim Shekel Kesef, Likdashu Ba'anfei Nafshayu? Why don't you say, it is measured with the special 50 Shekel Kesef, but just measured separately? Why do you, it's part of a Sadeh Achuzah, So why do you say it's not nimdan and it's just going to go by the regular market value? Say that it's going to be also redeemed with the special chamishim shekel kesef to the chomer zera chomer seorim, but it'll just be measured separately. Right? Why do you have to say that it's not nimdad with that magical value at all? Parenthetically, ask the Rashbam. I don't understand. So what's the Gemara saying? Why don't you say it has the same value? So what difference does it make then that if it's measured separately with the rest of the field? The rest of the field goes by chamishim shekel kesef as erech homer saorim. And now the Gemara is saying, and those little points also should go by chamishim shekel kesef as erech homer saorim. So what's the difference of nimdadin or lo nimdadin ima? Altogether, it's the same big amount, the same sum, whether you measure, let's say it's 70 acres. So if it's 65 acres and 5 acres, all going by the special amount of the Torah, or it's 70 acres all going by the special amount of the Torah, what's the difference? You're going to come with the same total. So what's the importance of the ba'anfi nafshayu? So the Rashbam says, well, maybe if you want to only be poda part of it. What if a person comes to the base of Mikdash? I don't want the whole field. I only want this part without those parts. So if it's measured separately, you could do that. If it's all one big package, you can't redeem half of it. You have to redeem it as a package. One, the Tosfos doesn't like that. The Rashba defends the Rashbam, but that's number one. Or Tosfos in Kiddushin says, what's a nafkamina? Tosfos Samach Aleph Amar Aleph. I'm sorry, Rashi, not Tosfos. Rashi Kiddushin Samach Aleph. The nafkamina is the slopes of these little hills in the field. Right? If it's the whole field, then the slopes are also included. If it's these areas that are 10 tefachim high or low, and the field separately, then you don't count the slopes in between. So two nafkaminas, even if both of them go by this calculation, there would still be a nafkamina whether you put it all together or separately. So the Gemara says, why is it separate? Just measure it ba'anfei nafshayu with that same amount. Again, the Yad Rama has his way of reading that line, but we're not going to go into it. And if you want to say, kivan de lo havi beis kur lo kachi, and if you want to say, well, if it's such a small amount, the Torah never had that in mind. To have this special calculation of chamishim shekel kesef only for significant areas, not for insignificant areas. That's not true. For Hatanya, we learned in a brisa, sadeh mata malomar. What does the Torah mean? Lefishin emar zerach omer saorim. V'chamishim shekel kesef ein li ela shehikdish pe'inyan hazeh. I would only think that it means if you were makdish, that amount, at least a chomer saorim. Zerach omer saorim. Minayin larabos. How do I know that even smaller amounts are included? Minayin larabos lesach v'chatzi lechach. Sa'ah, tarka v'chatzi tarkav. How do I know that even smaller amounts, you prorate and you go by that ratio? Tamar lomar sadeh mikol makom. Question mark. So you see that even a small amount you could go by that measurement. So therefore, why is it that, again, back to the question of on the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say, ein nimdadin ima? Why not? Which means, according to the Rashbam and Mos, that you don't go by the special, calculation. Why not? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama. What the Mishnah is talking about is, hacha b'nekaim maleim mayim askinan. We're talking about areas that are not, you're not able to plant on. It's rocky. It's rocky areas, or on top, or the holes are full of water. Malayamayim askinan. Delav b'nei Zriya ninu. They're not b'nei Zriya. That's why it's a sada in the Torah. This is not called a sada if you can't plant on it. And that's why it doesn't go by the amount of the Torah, the chamishim shekel kesef. It goes separately. Dekanami, diktani, dumi deslam, shamina. And that's why it's meduyah, because it's talking about the clefts and the rocks on top. So that's the comparison in the Mishnah, and that's how you know. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. If the problem here is that it's not called a field because it's rocky, then what difference does it make how high or low it is? Ihachi afilu pachos mikanami, that even less than 10 tfachim, or right, the up or down, also should be excluded. Right? We're saying only 10 tefachim. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, it also should be excluded because it's an issue of being rocky and not being included in sadeh. Answer, no. If it's just, let's say, 3 tefachim high, even if it's a little rocky, hanu nagni da'ara mikru, shadre da'ara mikru. Those are just like, they're cracks. No ground is perfect. You'll always have some little areas where it is not plantable. So those are called cracks in the earth, or shidri, like from the word shidra, the spine. The spine of the earth. So therefore, that's why we don't say in that case that it would be excluded. It's counted if it's less than 10 tefachim. So that is all pshat of the Mishnah. The pshat of the Mishnah in Maseches Arachin are the clefts, or above the rocks are the rocks, but even the clefts are full of water, and that is why it is not included in the calculation that the Torah tells you to do. So now the Gemara says, with that background, hachamai. So what about our Mishnah? Back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is about selling fields. If you sell a field, and the Mishnah said, if it has a cleft that is 10 tefachim deep, that's not included. Is that only if it's filled with water or not? We know what the Mishnah in Arachin is talking about. What about the Mishnah here? And again, the Hachamai, that question itself is loaded. It's not just a question of, oh, what do you say here? It means, do we compare the context of the Torah and the context of Mechira? And maybe the Mishnah, the Gemara is even bothered in the question, and maybe this is going to be the answer. Can you really compare them? One is a fundamental legal definition, and one is not. Or maybe not. Or maybe the Torah is also a lemaisa practical definition, because it says the word sadeh. The word sadeh means field, plantable. And maybe that's what you also need for selling fields. So that's what's behind those two words of the Gemara, hachamai. Are these contexts comparable? So the Gemara answers, no. Amar Papa, Avo Bishain Malayamayim. Even if it's not filled with water. In other words, if the cleft is 10 tefachim deep, even if it's not filled with water, even though, according to the Torah, if that was true, in a Steachuza, it would go by the Chamishim Kesef, the Zerach Omer Seorim. Here, even if it's not filled with water, it's not included in the sale. Ein Malayamayim. My time, why? Ein Adam Rotze, Sheyitain Ma'osav Lamakam Echad, V'yeirao Lokishtayim V'shloshim Mekomos. That's not what I expect when I buy a field. I want to buy a field and I could go with my plow across the whole field. I don't have to bring special instruments to have to go deep down to plant, you know, in this crevice in the field. That's not my das. And therefore, even if it's not filled with water, the halacha would be true. Mask of La Ravina, but wait a minute, we'll come back to that line, but let's just finish first. Bez Hashem. The Hadumya Dislamtin, but one minute. Our Mishnah also has the parallel to rocks, just like we said the Mishnah in Arachin, right? Holes compared to rocks. Rocks are not plantable on those rocks, and so do the holes. So shouldn't we say that comparison in our Mishnah too? Maslam Dilabane Zriya Ninu, Afhani Nami Dilabane Zriya Ninu. Shouldn't we say it's comparable in our Mishnah? So we should say it's full of water also? Answer no. Kiktoni Dumya Dislaim. Apachos mikan. The not plantable compared to rocks is going by less than 10 tefachim. By less than 10 tefachim, even if it's filled with water, it's nimdarima. That's why it throws that in there, to tell you the chiddush about the pachos mikan. If it's only 5 tefachim up or down, so then even if it's filled with water, if it's down, it is nimdarima, because it's just considered a crack or the spine of the ground. But if it's 10 tefachim up or down, so then it is it's not nimdad. Even if it's empty, it is not going to be measured. That is the chiddush. So it does say the rocks only for the pachos and not for the 10 itself. Good. This statement that Rav Papa has, or that the Gemara has, Ein Adam Rotze, Sheitein Ma'osav. There are many statements in Shas like that. It's a type of estimating the behavior of society. Ein Adam Porea B'toch Zmano. We had way back, 100 daf ago almost. Right? A person doesn't pay before he has to pay. Those are all what we might call umdinas, but there are different areas of halacha. Rav Asher Weiss talks about this and others also. But you read the Gemaras, and one that just has to be mechalik, that the word umdina could be used in different ways in different times. It does not mean the same thing, and maybe sometimes the word umdina isn't even appropriate. Umdina, we usually think, oh, this is in the person's mind. So what does that mean? Sometimes we use umdina as an edus umdina. Right, there are really different categories. Here is one type of category where it's called umdina. We estimate what most people in the world do. It's more similar to what we might call a ruba dolesa kamon. Right? Statistical evidence has showed that most people don't pay during the time. Statistical evidence showed that most people don't buy a field and they want this. Most people, you know, buy oxen. We had at the beginning of the parak 10 blot ago, buy oxen to plow with. They don't buy oxen to eat. So those are all what we might call a statistical majority, aruba delesa kaman, or a type of estimation that Chazal defined the hisnagus, the behavior of people. That is one type of what we might call umdana. Another type is very different. again, the same word, like the Rambam was talking about before, Arachin might be used in four different contexts, but mean four different things. I'll count them as four different mitzvahs. The same thing with the word umdana. Another umdana. What about if there is a case of circumstantial evidence? Circumstantial evidence. Sometimes the word umdana is used there too, but that's very different. The umdana is that it's a different type of usage. If you don't have black and white evidence, but it's pretty circumstantial. There's a separate issur d'oraisa in the Torah to judge at least in a nefashas based on circumstantial evidence. The Rambam and the Chinuch, I'll read it from the Chinuch. The Chinuch says in Mitzvah Pei Beis, Mitzvah 82, based on a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, V'naki v'tzadik al taharog. Don't kill a tzaddik. That's pretty obvious. I'm not going to kill a tzaddik. No, but it's a mitzvah to bezdin that if somebody, you do not have evidence 100%, edus and everything, you can't kill them. Shelo yahargu bezdin hanidon ki'im be'edim me'edin ha'osu inyan shehu ne'aragalav. She'ra'u she'osa oso b'nei amamish. Right? This is why the Mishnah says in Makkos it hardly ever happened that bezdin put somebody to death, because it was very hard. You can't judge based on it. Maybe for murderers, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you can lock people up in jail and then feed them something and Kadosh Baruch will take care of the rest. But of course, murder is the undermining of society. But other than that, you know, for killing somebody, right, you're going to be able to kill somebody based on DNA evidence? We'll have to ask the Sanhedrin. But pashtus, that's not edus re'iyah, right? So would that be, that's pretty clear. But it's still not edus re'iyah for killing something. Maybe for aguna, it could be good enough. But this is the issur d'oraisa, not judging based on circumstantial evidence, even if it's very clear. Lo she'idu alav mitzad ode osos chazakos. Even though are there osos chazakos, val zeh nemar v'nak mitzad gal tarog. Klomar, he zoher ad ma'od l'val tarog adam she'yehe be'efsharus shelo asa ma she'amro alav she'asa. If it's possible, like, ro, ro defacher chavir lahargo, behisru bo, Yisrael, ben brisu, if you kill him, you're gonna be chayiv, and then they disappear behind the fence, and outside behind the fence, and they come back, one person's holding a bloody knife, and the other person's lying there dead. So do we say that he killed him? Seems that way. I warned him, I didn't see it. So that's the halacha. Right, v'nativ, v'nakiv, tzadik, al ta'arog, be'edis umdina in dinin afashas. Dine mamanis is more of an issue, it seems to be a discussion in the Rishonim. Dini Mamanis, right? We had this already a couple of days ago. Right? We had this, remember the Machlokas Tanoim that we had earlier on Daf Tzad Gimel, 10 blad ago, right? You go, you see, you know one of the camels are in mating season, the camel's jumping around like crazy, and then all of a sudden you see a dead camel right next to it. Can you assume that the wild camel killed the dead camel? What do you say? No, right? Gamal ha'ocher ben agmalim. Right? We had that machlokas on Sadi Gimel Amid Aleph. So again, that's dinei mamonis. So that's not as clear. But that's another example of where umdana is used. Or a third context where umdana is used is led bezdin. They feel something about a certain case. Not nefashos, but you know, they feel. Let's say there's a beautiful Rambam. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember in what context, but the Rambam says in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Yesh l'dayin l'dun dini mamanis al pi advarim shadayta note lohen. There's something about what the dayin's heart, which way it's taking him. Shehein emes va'adavar chazak b'libo shuukain. Av b'shein raya sham raya brura ve'insorach lomar im hayo yodea b'vadei shadavar kain shudon kefi ma sheyada. Right, Shvua Bebezdin, Vechulu. This relates to what we just said about Umdana, but this is again going by Netias Lev Hadayan. Or we had earlier in the Masechta, Shuda Dadaini. Right, does that mean whatever Bezdin wants to do? That also might be called Umdana. Again, all of these are you cannot compare these categories, even if you say we see the word Umdana in all of them. But especially the first two, where we use Umdana, that Mistamed happened, versus Umdana, what do most people do? Right, that's very different. And the Gemara here just gives one example of the behavioral activities that Chazal assumed most people do. It says there are 20 of them in Shas, just the behaviors that Chazal assumed happen in society. And we could use that for influencing what happens. So here too, what people buy. People don't want to buy a field with these holes in it, even if it doesn't have any water in it. Okay, let's continue. Pachos Bikan Nimdad Nima. Fine. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Continues Rabbi Yitzchak. So there are, in the second part of our Mishnah, we mentioned that if there are rocks or these areas less than 10, it is automatically accepted. But if it's 10, then it is not accepted. Says the Gemara now, Trushim She'amru. Trashim Sha'amru, the second part of the Mishnah, where it said if it's less than that, it is acceptable, there is still a limit on those. Trashim Sha'amru, base Arba'as Kavin. Right, it still can't be more rocky area than 4 Kav. If it's more than that, then it's not acceptable, even if it's less than 10 Tfachim. Amar Rav Ukva Barchama, Vahu Shemuvla'un Bachameshes Kavin. But those 4 Kav have to be spread around at least 5 Kav of area. If they're all concentrated in one area, then that area has got to be excluded. But if it's spread around 5 Kav, so then it would be okay. The next line, let's read our Girsa first. Rav Chia Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Vahu Shemuvla'un Baruba Shal Sadeh. What is that? Is that arguing or not arguing? Rav Chiya bar Abba says, in the name of Yochanan, as long as it is also around the majority of the field. The majority of the field. So the pashas, according to our girsa, is that there's an argument here. That not 5 kav, that's not the minimum, but the minimum is it has to be spread around the majority of the field, which the Mepharshim explained, 16 sa'ah, but according to our girsa, it is a machlokes. According to the Rif has a girsa of Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. He changes the verb, not to beforehand, Rechia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Amar first. Meaning, the Rishonim explained there that they're just adding on another limitation, not arguing. It has to be 5 Kav, it has to be spread around most of the field, rather it's an additional point. Okay, it's a detail, but it is a question about how you view this machlokas. Right? We like to mention, once a mesechta or so, the thought that Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz used to help his future father-in-law to convince him that he's a good son-in-law, he's the good Aiden, as it's called in Yiddish. So what is that? He said he once met him in a place in between two cities. He met him in a tavern, and they didn't have any svarim there. His father-in-law said, "Tell me a vart." He said, "What do you have?" They found the sitter. They found the sitter. Okay, so the sitter, they found, he said, "Take out the sitter." He says, "Open it to Rabbi Yishmael." Rabbi Yishmael Lomer. So he says, three kashas on Rabbi Yishmael. Number one, it should say, Amr Rabbi Yishmael. There's no machlokas here. Rabbi Yishmael is the beginning of a parish. It's the beginning of the Torah's Kohanim on Vayikra. So it should be Amar Rabbi Yishmael, like the Machlokas in the Girsos here. If you have the verb first, Amar, so then you know it is adding on. It's saying something new. But if you say Rabbi Yishmael Omer, right, that's what every Mishnah says. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, Div Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right, that's a Lashon of Machlokas. So why does Rabbi Yishmael Omer start off as in a Lashon of Machlokas? It's a new paragraph, number one. Number two, how could there be a Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael, that's what you name your child. Number two. Number three, one of the Mido Shatarded Reshes Bahen is Klalu Prat, Pratu Klau, Klalu Pratu Klau. The question is, how do you ever have that? Don't you say, Ein Muktam Mu'uchar Batorah? Right? There's no order. So maybe what you think is a Klalu Prat is really a Pratu Klau. So says Rav Yonos and Eibeshitz, look at the first parak of Miseches Psachim. The first parak tells us that you do say Klalu Prat if it's in one section. What? Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lemar? No, it doesn't say that. It's Vaydabar Lemar Hashem. No. If it's in one section, you do say Vaydabar, you do say Muktam Uchar Batorah. And what's the raya to that? The Pasuk tells us that when Avram Avinu died, who buried him? Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael's older. Why does the Torah say Yitzchak first? Ah, it's a raya that Yishmael did tshuva and he gave kavod to Yitzchak. What do you mean? In Muktam Uchar Batorah. So what difference does it make if Yitzchak said first in the Pasuk? No, that's the point. There is Muktam Uchar in one section. So Mikan raya that Yishmael did tshuva at the end of his life. And therefore, continuing, that's why there could be a Tana named Rabbi Yishmael, because Yishmael did tshuva. And therefore, we could understand the phrase at the beginning of Rabbi Yishmael a little differently. Again, not the Pashtus, but Rabbi Yishmael. The fact that there is a Rabbi Yishmael, Omer says to me and teaches me, Klalu Prat, Pratu Klal, and therefore you could darshan such halachas and such rushes of Chazal. So he got the shidduch, and that is the idea. But again, the root of that is that there's a difference. Every phrase in the Mishnah and the Gemara, whether you have the verb before or after, tips off Rishonim as to whether there's a machlokes or whether this is a new statement just adding on. And you have it right here in the difference in the girsa, whether it's Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan or Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Good. We continue. Says the Gemara, Boi Rav Chiya bar Abba. Ruban b'miyuto, miyutan b'ruba. Ma, what about this ratio? If you have most of the rocky area in a very small amount of field and a very little rocky area in the larger amount of the field, right? It's not evenly distributed. So, ma'o, is that a sale, teku? So no answer is given. We're going to have a number of tekus, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about teku also. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, kishir mahu. Again, the issue here, the Gemara is asking, is that not only does the amount of rocky area make a difference, but the position of the rocky area makes a difference. Even if it's a small amount, if it's enough of an amount that I can't plow properly, so that also could make it different, that I won't want to be, I won't want to take this field as buying a field. So kashir mahu, what if it is in a circle? Kashir, like a bracelet, literally. So it's hard for me to plow that middle area, because every time I go towards one of the edges, so then I come to a bump, and the outside of it is, I can't. So kashir mahu. Kashura mahu, what if it's in a line? What if it's one line? So is that, right, Rashi, to call to connect, Rashbam, to call sheneged ashura eino yochel lachrosh. Anything on the opposite side, right, so it's hard for the plowing if I have one long line across the whole field. It's tadinin mahu. What does its tadina mean? Right, says Rashbam, karne shor ha'istadin, like the horns of an ox. The horns of an ox, like the picture on the left side. The horns of an ox starts going straight up and then they slant out. So that's also a very difficult, rock formation in my field. Right, derech akalason mahu. What if it's, diagonals? Right, the next picture in the Rashbam. Akalason. Right, those are all different. So teku, none of those are, meaning even if it's less rocks, but if it's this amount, you know, maybe it's a problem, and therefore, I wouldn't be happy with this field. Okay, let's just finish up, and then we'll make, two other comments. Tana, im haya sela yechidi, afilu kol shu'enim darima, if it's a single rock, even if it's a tiny amount, einim dadanima. What are we talking about? A single rock. So explains the Rashbam, Sela Yechidi, right to the left side of where we are. Amasvisan kaima brisa. Diktani pachos mikanim dadanima, where it says pachos mikan, and it says, if it's Sela Yechidi, meaning there's a rock right at the edge outside of the field. That's not counted. You can't start measuring the field. Fine if there are rocks within that are pachos mikan, you can count them. But if it's at the border right outside, you can't start counting the field from the rock, which is not plantable on. And also says the Gemara, if it's right inside the border, whether it's right outside the border or right inside the border, you can't start counting a field from the rocks. You would start counting from inside the rocks. If it's in the middle of the field, then melo, we could say that it is can be counted. But not if it's on the edge. Boy Rav Papa, Mufsak Ofer Bein Tayim Mahu. What if there's a rock close to the border, but there's some dirt in between the rock and the border? So could you start, you could count, you could plant a little bit from that dirt, but then there's a rock right away. Teku. Boy Rav Ashi, Ofer Milamata Vitsunma Milamala. Ofer Milamala Vitsunma Milamata Mahu. What if there's dirt either above a rocky area or below a rocky area? There's a rock on top, but there's dirt underneath for you to plant in somehow, or to remove the rock, or there's a rock on top. So all of those are those, even if it's pachos mikan, those excluded, included, teku. So all of these questions are not answered. Okay, a couple of points relating. We got a chance to talk today a little bit about some related issues. First of all, related to the itztadinin mahu. So again, we say, where does that come up? That comes up by a shor ha-itztadin. Right, the Rashbam here quotes, karne shor ha-itztadin. Kazen, he quotes those horns. So Shara Itzadin, it comes up also, not only here, in Baba Basra, where it's the shape of the rocks, but it comes up, the main place it comes up is in Baba Kama. Shara Itzadin, the Mishnah there discusses, if there is an animal, a Shara Itzadin, which is trained to kill, trained to be in the Itzadin, where the big gladiator areas where they, so Ashara Isidin, ask the Gemara in Baba Kama, right? We have a concept of Shartam, and, you know, if an animal kills, then you would kill the animal. Says the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Lamites, Sharha Isidin, Eno Chayim Misa. Not Chayim Misa. Shenemar, Ki Yigach, Veloshe Yaki Hu Hu. Only if the animal goes and gores, but not if it is caused to gore. So if I train the animal to gore, then that's not called the animal goring, and therefore the animal is not chayiv misa, says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara there, mem amid beis iboy luhu, mahu lagabe mizbeach. Fine, the animal is not chayiv misa, but can you use it as a carbon? Malagami Mizbeach. Rashi there says, Shagabi nogeach biratzon, the hamis adam pshita lund apostle. Right? But pashas, we know, shar nagach, right? If it kills you, you can't use it as a carbon. So here, you don't have to kill the animal. Most of the time, you're going to kill the animal, it won't make a difference anyway. But here, you don't have to kill the animal. So, are you allowed to use it as a carbon? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Kasher v'Shmuel Amar Pasul. Why is this so exciting? Let's keep reading. Rav Amar Kasher Anusu. Rav says it's an anus, right? Well, you trained it to kill, and therefore there's nothing to talk about. It's not. You could use it as a carbon. Shmuel Amar Pasul Hari Neved Bo Aveira. Shmuel says no. There was still a Maisa Aveira done. What is this? Why is Shara Isidim? Why are we focusing so much on this? Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel quotes, it's not just him, he just quotes this, Kedarka Bakodesh, quoting from all over Shas and Midrashim and all over the Torah literature. Right? The question that many Achronim have, this is the Beis HaOtzar, the Rav Yosef Engel and the Beis HaOtzar, right, about Ones. The Beis HaOtzar only got up to like Beis. Right? He started writing a Torah encyclopedia, but we only have the first two letters. Right, so ones is good because we have it's aleph. So he asked the question: an ones, a maisa avera baones, is that called a maisa avera without a punishment, or is that not even a maisa avera? Right, a person Rachman al Sadr Ramam talks about this in Hilchos Yesodei Torah. Let's say it's one of the big three. One of the big three, and a person can't do it, and a person violates instead of giving their life. So Ramam says you are mechal shem shemayim, but you're not put to death because it was ones. So does that mean is that called an avera? If somebody is, or even maybe those three might be different. Let's say somebody eats treif ba'ones, right? Because is that called a ma'isa aveira that you're allowed to do, or is not even called a ma'isa aveira? Right? That's a question that's asked in other contexts as well. Katan, a ma'isa aveira of a katan, is that a ma'isa aveira with a p'tur onshim, or is that not even a ma'isa aveira? Right? But here we're talking about ones. So he says in klal chav dalid yesh lehistapek v'hod dekayim alon ones rachmana patre imurak le'inyim p'tur ha'adam de'ein al adam shum onesh aval etzem ha'maisa averahi odilma gam etzem ha'maisa ein chashuva avera kol shohaisa ba'ones v'lo hayasha meri upesha mitzad ha'ose. And there are big nafkaminas, mitzvah haba ba'avera, or a ner shehudlak b'shabes ayde ones, could you use that for havdalah? Right, there are other nafkaminas. But he says, maybe it's a machlokas amoraim. Where? Rav and Shmuel, shor ha'istadin. Right, what do you shor ha'istadin? They have a machlokas. Fine, you don't kill the animal. Could you use it on the mizbeach? So what's the language of the Gemara? Rav says, anusu, meaning it didn't happen. It's not a ma'isa avera. Use it as a carbon. Shmuel says, come on, neved bo avera. You're not going to kill it, but you can't ignore the physical action that took place. So suggest the Beis HaOtzar, maybe that itself is the machlokas. Umuchach lichora. Those two words are really different. Muchach lichora. De ha milsa pligi, de ravs really to ba'ones a maisa ba'atzmusa lo chashiva avera. Umishamachi given de anusu lo chashivle nev de bo avera klal, ushmul sirole, nehi de anusu al calze ha maisa ba'atzmusa mihos shapir averahi. But then he says, maybe not. Maybe that's not the machlokas, maybe the machlokas is something else. He thinks, he has that as an amazing possibility, and if he would stop there, we would all be convinced. But then he says, maybe not. Maybe the machlokas is what I've spoken about elsewhere. Is there shayach echet by a bal chai? That's the question. Forget animals. Maybe by people you define it differently. But what about an animal? Is this called, even when you put the animal to death, is that called an avera by an animal? Could we call it that when an animal kills a person, Rachman al-Islan? Right, Rav says, anus, meaning, what are you talking about? This is an anus. Shmuel says, no, it's still called a ma'isa avera. So that's what he says. It will be yeser hasvara, yeshlom, the pligi, mashadanti bo bichlal, somewhere else. Ibchal nun hei, ishayach bo inyin chait, bibal chai. The Yaakov, yeshlom, the Rav Shmuel, hanal, nami bahab, milsa kamiflagi. The Rav, severely, the shayach chait, bibal chai. V'chulu, but because it's ones, it's an ones, and Shmuel, Sirel, the Balafachi, Loshech, Inyan, Chepe, Balchai, V'chulu, and he continues. And there are other nafkaminas that he has here, again, many different pages, not for now. Again, it also has nafkaminas, big nafkaminas in terms of Isser Labaila. Right, we discussed often certain cases that are somewhat unusual in terms of defining them as ones or not in terms of Isser Labayla. Right, we know a woman who is Mizane Baratzon, Rachman al-Islan, is Asur Labayla. If she is Mizane Baones, if she's raped, so then she is Muteris Labayla as long as it's not an Ashes Kohen. Fine, but some cases are not so clear whether they're ones, whether they're ratzon. So, for example, the big sugya that we've touched on. What if it's a maisa avera beratzon in a situation of ones? Like Esther Hamalka, she went beratzon, but it was a situation of ones. Like Yael, Eishes Chever Akeni, as it's described in Maseches Nazir, right? She saved, she didn't just put the peg in Sisera's head, but she was mezana with him to tire him out, got him to fall asleep, and then killed him. So, is that called A, was it appropriate? B, is that Asur Labayla? The case of the Noda Yehuda, that there was a whole 25 Jews that were captured, and they were the pirate was going to kill all the Jews until one woman went and was able to seduce him and to be mezana with him, and in that way save all of them. A, does she do the right thing? B, is she Asur Labayla? See, those are situations of ones, but acts of ratzon. So, is that called Onis? Is that called Ratzon? The Maharik, that's where it all starts. The Maharik in the Tshuva, quoted in the Ramah, at the end of Evan Ezer, Omer Mutter. A woman thinks, a woman, I don't know, grows up on a deserted island, and she doesn't know that Judaism believes in closed marriages. I thought Omer Mutter, I thought your, you know, marriage doesn't limit me to who I could be with. Omer Mutter, so the Maharik says, that's not called Onis. And that's Asur Labayla, because it's all the Maisa Merid. It's all the Maisa Merid against her husband. Or, one more, and then we'll continue. And each of these deserve its own discussion. There is an unbelievable but a tragic case quoted in the Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion wasn't so long ago. The Arach Laner, 1800s. Right? The Arach Laner has the following true story that happened in Hungary, Bimidinas Ungarin. He quotes a story. There was a story that a man was on a business trip, and all of a sudden, a woman and her kids are home, and on a Friday night, she gets a knock on her door. A man says, "No, no, please, please come in. I'm outside. I need a place." And he comes in. He convinces her to go in, which was the first mistake, but it was Parshas Truma. Parshat Tzitzit, I don't know what year this was. What year this was? Tafresh Yutes. Okay, 1859. So says the Binyan Tzion says that there was a case. He comes in and says to her, "I have a secret to tell you because that you are a very holy woman and I really need to talk to you." She's like, "What are you talking about? I've been sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Elio Anavi. And we need to produce Mashiach. And you're the only one that can know this. You can't tell the chulu b'chulu," and he creates this whole crazy story of, the Mashiach's going to come from you. It's just that your husband is not on the level. But I've been sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create Mashiach with you. On this Tuesday, if you open the box and you'll see a 400 money, whatever, Lomaisa Rachman al-Aslan, she's seduced, and he's a big charlatan. And they go to the Binyan Tzion and they say, she's crushed, she's hysterical. She was convinced she's an Isha Tznua Ma'od. And the question is this called ones? Is this called ratzon? She was baratzon in a situation of ones. Can't believe this happened, but this is the story that happened. And they go through a whole tshuva about the Maharik. Is this better or worse than Omer Mutter? And at the end of the tshuva, he says he thinks this is definitely ones. Emecha ones galdom izeh. She thinks she's doing this for Klal Yisrael, and everybody says that she's an isha tznua v'isam od. So he says, if there are two other great rabbis that agree with me, I'll be mad to her. Right? Ein lismoch al hora, si emlo yaskimu al ze, o chnai mi bali hora, vaz et sarif yamayim, lahadar isha labayla. Uve prat ki vishinemra bashela, isha ksheira isa meyaz, vishla embanim, kain yirla niyaz daiti, binyin siyan, kuf nun dalit. So again, ones, how do you define it? It all comes from shor ha itzdin. That's how we got into this, where the Mishnah here talks about itzdin, as well. Okay, let's do the Mishnah, then we'll see if there's time to talk about Teku. We will talk about it. But let's do the Mishnah. Beis kur afar ani mocher lecha. I sell you a beis kur afar. Mida bechevel. So this is why this is new. Not just beis kur afar, but mida bechevel, which means measured amount. Measured by a rope. So it sounds like he's being pretty specific. Piches kol shehu yinache. So then, if it's a little less, you gotta deduct the amount that was paid for it. Because if he's so exact, he says mida bechevel, so it must be he wants to be exact. Hoser kol shehu yachzir, and if he took too much land, he has to give back the extra land. V'im amar hein chaser hein yaser, and if he says a little bit more, a little bit less, afilu piches rov alasa, hoser rov alasa higiyu. If he says that, so then it means that he's not going to be so medaktik. and a little bit more or less is okay. Yoser mikam, but if it's even more than that, then yasa cheshbon. Then you have to do a cheshbon and give it back even the amount within the rova lisa'a. Mahu machzir lo, and what does he have to give back? Ma'os. He has to give back money, give back money, meaning the buyer who had this little extra doesn't give back this little sliver of land, because what's the seller going to do with this little sliver of land? But he gives back money and he keeps that to land. V'imratza machzlo karka. If the seller wants, he can take back the land, if he wants it. But if he doesn't want it, then the buyer cannot give back such a sliver because it's useless. V'lama amru machzir lo mos liapos kocho shel mocher. And why do you give back the money? Because it's a takana d'rabanan. Takana d'rabanan for the betterment of the mocher. Because after all, if it's a bigger amount, we wouldn't force. Shimshir besada base tishakav and ubegina base chatikav or ukadiv Rabbi Akiva base rova machzlo zakarka. If it's a larger amount, then he could give back the karka because that the seller could look at significantly by itself independently. Veloza rova belvad hu machzir ella es kol hamosar. And by the way, what we said before, it says the Mishnah that you have to give back if it's more than a rova. You have to give it back. You give back the whole thing. You don't just give back the difference between getting it back to a rova, which we had a couple of days ago also. Remember the sugya of Iker and Hosafa by Ribis and by other cases, that was the statement of Rav Huna, that if you make steak, you have to give back everything that we had about a week or two ago. Just one other horror, the Rashbam here deals with the problem among the other Rishonim. If it's exact, right, if it's exact, we say Yachzir. The first case of the Mishnah. If it's Mida Bechevel, if you're a little different, a little Piches or Hosir, Yachzir. Give back that extra. Ask the Rishonim, isn't that just a Mekach Tos and the whole thing should be Batel? I said I want exactly this amount, and you don't give me exactly that amount. So we say just give back that little, no, you should say it's wrong and it's a Mekach Tos. Says the Rashbam, that's true by Metaltalin, but not by Karka. By Metaltalin, we would say if you're a little off, Mekach Tos. But if you look in the third line of the Mishnah, V'yavagavda Amar Rava, and even in the Rashbam, even though Rava said earlier on Daf Tzadi called Avishemimid, Avishemimishkav, Avishemimidyan, Afilu Pachos Michdeona Choser, even only a little mistake Choser, Hanimili b'metaltelin, Avo b'karko lo shayach b'hu chazara, Tekimlu Rabbanan, Tenichale l'lokeach liknos mashayimsa, Lefi amida hin chazar en yeser. Again, Chazal assumed this was what people, the umdana, to use the word again, right? This is what people would accept by karka, but not by metaltelin, which relates to the sugi that we discussed often about ona'a, this concept of ein ona'a lekarkos. That might be limited. Tosfos and Kedushin says that only goes up to 100%, while the Rambam says, no, ein ona'a lekarkos, period. Because by karka, people are more flexible in terms of what they would accept. Even if they say an exact amount, we assume there's a little more flexibility. That's what the Rashbam says here, and that's what the Rishonim say regarding the sugya of ona'a. Okay, I guess we have to stop here. Hashem, tomorrow it's Safed Hashem will be put up from the last cycle, and Hashem will pick up after that. Again, a couple of days, Rabosai, and next week we get into the next section of the Masechta, really. Right, these four prakim are one topic, and then Yesh Nochlin is on the horizon, a totally different world, all the halachas and mitzvah of Yerusha. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, today's shiur was sponsored L'zecha Nishmas, Sima Rachel Bat HaRav Tzvi Aryeh. She was zocha to leave generations of Shomrei Mitzvot and Lomdei Torah, dedicated by her sons, Jack Freeman and Aaron Friedman. We thank them for the sponsorship.